So, dear Lord, pray for this next part of the service. I pray that the words I say make sense, but I pray that people are able not just to hear what I'm saying, but able to hear the things that are being said by you that are extra. I pray for the thoughts that this spurs in people's minds. I pray for the prayers that get spurred by this. And I pray that for each of us, me included, that what I say and what we hear from you changes things. And each of us are able in this room to hear something different from the same words, which is amazing. So I pray for those things, that they may be the thing that you needed to hear today. And I pray that for all of us. So Lord, in your strength, in your power, in your love, in your might, speak to all of us now in ways that we, each of us, need. Amen. There's some Bible coming up in the second half of what I'm going to do. So I'm not going to start with a Bible story. I'm going to start with a thing which started life as a Sunday school thing here. Then it's become an assembly that I did at school. And now it's come back to us folk here. The only real difference between the assembly that I did at school and the Sunday school stuff was really sort of the Jesus bits that got, you know, that I feel that I've got to chuck in for Sunday school. But I still managed to tell the story at school without really having to attribute the stories to Jesus. But people know that I do church and all that sort of stuff. So I'm always in the hope that people put two and two together. But here we go. So in Sunday school, I look after, when it's my turn, I look after the junior school group. So the oldest in there is 10 going on 11, and the youngest in there is 7, I think. And between me and Sam and Maggie and maybe Heather, I think sometimes there's the junior group as well, what we've been looking at is a series of attributes, characteristics, which Jesus wants to encourage in people who follow him. So we've been, well, there we go. It was my turn to look at kindness. So kindness is what I'm going to talk about today. Now, part of that could be this generosity stuff. Generosity is a different word that we get to look at some other point, but kindness could also obviously include this. Now, it seems to me that in our lives, you can't practice kindness by looking in the mirror. You can't just stand there and go, looking kind today. It doesn't really work like that. And the best way to practice kindness is to actually do it. But when we were talking about this upstairs in Sunday school, I kind of had this idea that actually you could play through in your mind different situations that you knew you were going to find yourself in over the coming days and over the coming weeks. And you could think about four things. Now, I'll try and visualize these for you by standing in various different places. But you could visualize what would be the worst thing you could do, what would be a nothing thing you could do, what would be a kind thing you could do, and what would be the kindest thing you could do. Now, for my assembly at school and for the Sunday school thing upstairs, had a photo that was either on my iPad for Sunday school or on the projector screen at school. And there were some various different situations. And one of them that I'll just talk a little bit about was, there was a photo of, a genuine photo of a homeless person in the middle of Birmingham who was leaning on the outside of the Tesco's on Odeon Street. I don't know, I never remember which one. New Street, okay. Odeon Street. Oh, it's just Odeon Street. When they move the Odeon, I've no idea what I'll call it. But there's a little Tesco's around there. So there was a photo of a guy, homeless guy, just there, sitting outside Tesco's. So what is the worst thing you could do to that person? What is a nothing thing? What is a kind thing? And what is the kindest thing? So I asked the Sunday school kids to come up with what those could be. And I thought it would be something like steal their money, walk by, say hello, get them a sandwich. Oh, it's fine. I thought that was where we were going to go. Nirupam, what's the worst thing you could do? Oh, well, you could peel his skin off and dip him in salt. Yeah, that is pretty bad. Well done. So for all the other scenarios, we came to him first to get the worst thing out of the way. But yes, it was just, wow. I don't know whether he's thought about this before or whether he was coming up with it on the spur of the moment, but it was very impressive. So thinking, I'll just leave you to get over that for a moment. So yeah, amazing. I was totally shocked. Great stuff. Loved it. But the other stuff, yeah, they came up with the things that I thought kind of on their own. I mean, they talk about giving him 10p, giving him £2, you know, that kind of stuff. But we talked a little while about the idea of never, no one ever being really sure whether giving money to homeless people was a good thing. And we talked about what, whether it's just you just be generous and it's up to them, or whether you buy them food and a cup of coffee or stuff, or a can of dog food for their dog or something, that kind of stuff. We had that nice little discussion. But they could see that just doing nothing wasn't kind. It was nothing. Them young people describe that as meh, M-E-H. Just leave that with you. I'm so cool. Meh. So there's the worst thing you can do, meh, kind, and kindest. Now, I am, first of all, before we talk about any Jesus stories in this, going to encourage you to think about that in your life. Because I'm hoping to show that Jesus was here with the stuff that he did. And if we're going to follow him, then he's here. He certainly isn't here. He's not a do-nothing kind of guy. You'd pretty much hope that he's not over here. But he's not a do-nothing kind of guy. And you would hope, if Jesus is setting himself up for us to follow him, then he's not just kind, he's kindest. So, just little things. Driving. I'm not going to give you any suggestions here, but I'm just going to show that this kind of works in any situation that you're about. What is the worst thing you could do as a driver? What is a meh thing you could do as a driver? Can you be a kind driver? Can you be the kindest driver? Shopping. What's the worst? Oh, incidentally, worst thing, right? Thursday was Thanksgiving in America, where they thank God for all the stuff that they've got. And then the next day is Black Friday, where they go and get more. Shopping. What's the worst thing you can do as a shopper? What is a nothing thing? Always a kind, and it could be your attitude to the people who are serving behind the tills. I had a friend, Andrew Porteous, if you know the name. I did one summer when I was at university, I worked at HMV Warehouse for 6 weeks. I don't remember saying this. My mum convinces me that I told her that it was the best job you could ever have. And that if I could do that for the, she said, well, yeah, you wouldn't want to do that for the rest of your life though, would you? Yep. HMV Warehouse, sorting out records, listening to the ones I liked. It's just amazing. Amazing. But a friend, this Andrew Porteous, he worked in HMV in town, in the shop. And he said it was just the most miserable experience, not because he was working in HMV, but because he reckoned one out of every 25 customers was an absolute nightmare. And the other 24 didn't rescue the situation. And the horribleness of the one in 25, they were the only ones he remembered by the end of the day. So if you can balance that off somehow by being gorgeous as a customer, then it might go some way to change people's lives and their experience of being a shop assistant. Because if you do nothing, you're not balancing that off. But if you are kind, or if you are the kindest shopper, then you can make a difference to people's lives. So there we go. Like I said, being kind, I don't think it's something you can practice in the mirror. But if in everyday life scenarios, you can have a little think about what's coming up today. Most of our day, I don't mean to make anybody feel down about stuff, but most of our days are fairly repetitive. We kind of vaguely know what Monday is going to be like. We kind of vaguely know what Tuesday is going to be like. So with that knowledge, you can just play through in your mind a few scenarios about how, what's the worst person you could be? What's the worst person you could be with the bin men? What's a nothing person you could be with the bin men? What's a kind person you could be with the bin men? What's the kindest person you could be with the bin men? What's the best you could be? Just you've got a list. You've got a list of things that are going to happen to you this week. And your Monday will be fairly predictable Monday for most folks. If you've got something really special going on, that's even more of a reason to think about how you could do those things in different ways. Right. Here we go. But this is John 8, if you fancy, if you've got a Bible and fancy finding it. And then later we'll be looking at John 19. So John 8, John 19. So John 8 first. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts. Now, just a moment. Okay, I'll come back to that. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman is caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap, or in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." How different would our faith be? How different would the Bible be? How different would the New Testament have been if this woman had been brought in front of Jesus and he'd picked up a rock? If he'd been the first one to throw a rock at this woman, how different would our understanding of Jesus be? I think if you know Jesus at all, you know that he's not throwing any stones. And if he had thrown a stone, how different would that make our understanding of him? He also didn't do nothing. He also didn't just say, "No, let's go our separate ways." He didn't just say, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." That was great. What he did was this. Now, from where I was, I could sense there was a little bit of meerkat in all of you. So think, who weren't you looking at? You weren't looking at this poor woman. Jesus did something that was hugely kind. He didn't just say, I'll say the words again, I'll get them right. He didn't just say, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw the stone at her." He did this so that the attention was off her. So it was on him. What's he writing on the floor? What's he writing? You could just imagine some of them at the back standing. I was disappointed actually that none of you at the back didn't go standing up. I thought, oh, there's bound to be, but you know, it's early. But there was no looking at her. He took the attention off of her. He didn't mind taking all that focus if it meant that she could just be ignored for a while. Because the last thing she needed was a load of religious men staring at her with daggers and with death eyes. Now, in the bloke's mind, stoning was the right thing to do. Maybe Jesus caught them in a moment of them not being sure that that seemed quite right. And they actually wanted an excuse to back away. But he gave them that excuse in the most loving, generous, kind way, because he took the focus off this woman. She'd been dragged there. She wouldn't have looked her best. She would have been roughed up, I guess. She wouldn't have looked her best. And Jesus took the focus off her before he even went with the kind thing. He did the kindest thing. So, what's the worst thing he could have done? Thrown the first stone. Because ironically, he was the only one who was without sin. He, you know, under his own terms, could have been justified in chucking the rock, I guess. But hopefully, if we know Jesus at all, that doesn't seem very Jesus-y. He could have done nothing, which would have meant she'd have been dead. He could have said, anyone without sin, chuck the first stone at her. But he took the attention off her as well. He did the kindest thing. And they all left, one by one. Interestingly, the oldest ones first. So the really wise one. Because wiseness comes with age. Just wiseness? I can't even get the word right. Let's try that again. So, because wisdom comes with age. But Jesus did the kindest thing. Now, I don't imagine him standing in front of a mirror practicing either. And maybe kindness comes more obviously to Jesus than it does to us. But if we can think about the situations that we may well find ourselves in, then just think about how you could place yourself in those four different situations. What is the worst thing you could do? Don't do that. What is a nothing thing to do? Fair enough, that happens to all of us. What is a kind thing to do? Well done. And what is the kindest thing to do? That's you being Jesus. That's you being Jesus, which is brilliant. So if you want to turn to John 19, as we get to the end of any of the Gospels, we start to get onto the business end of Jesus' crucifixion and his death. So this is him. Towards the end, verse 25, I guess. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Ah, yeah, fair enough. Three Marys, it seems. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Funnily enough, I wouldn't wish crucifixion on anybody, but sometimes when we're in the middle of trials and tribulations and stuff, it feels like the worst thing is happening to us. And often for all of us, because we're human, when the worst stuff is happening to us, we think about ourselves. And nobody would blame anybody for that at all. But when the worst things are happening to us, maybe with God's help, with Jesus' help, there is sometimes that chance to still be kind and still be kindest to people that are around us. It is completely okay to feel that you are in dark times. But the promise that Jesus said, read at the start, "I am the light of the world, no one should be in darkness." The light is still there for you. The light is still there for you. And if you can take a little bit of ownership of that and still try to be kind and kindest in times where actually normally you would be thinking about yourself, you are Jesus. Because even when he's crucified, if you read through all of the words that Jesus says when he's on the cross, there are two little phrases that are about him. Once he says, I am thirsty. And once he says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. So my God, why have you forsaken me? All of the other words he says on the cross are about other people. So even in the middle of pretty much the worst thing, the words that he says are about other people. We all of us find ourselves in times of strife, times of trouble, times of stress, times of worry. Jesus would think about other people, even in those times. Now, if that adds to your stress, just back away from this a little bit, because we are not Jesus. If you need to worry about yourself, I don't think God would worry about that too much. I think he would be there with you. And just rest on the meh thing for a while, if you do find yourself in somewhere that is hard. But Jesus, I say again, all the words that he said on the cross were about other people, apart from, and I am, it is finished. Fair enough. That's just a statement of fact, isn't it? I am thirsty. My God, why have you forsaken me? So he was having a nightmare. But all the other words, the words to the people who were hanging there with him, to his mum, to his friend, they're all about other people and making sure that other people are okay. So if you find yourself in times of hardship, the worst thing you can do, I'm not sure, it's going to change depending on the situation. Lashing out, I suppose. Making everyone's life a misery, maybe. A nothing thing to do is perfectly fine. Because if you are in hardship, then maybe you do have to worry about yourself and focus about yourself. But Jesus shows us that even in the worst, worst, worst situations, it is still possible to think about other people. And he didn't just say, John, look after me, mum. He gave them a relationship. This is your son, this is your mother. It was here. It was the kindest thing. So his mum knew that someone wasn't there just sort of looking out for her. It was going to be somebody who would be looking after her. And John is often thought to be one of the youngest disciples. So he would have thought the same. Jesus isn't going to be here. Who's going to look after me? My mum. So even in the middle of trials and tribulations, Jesus manages to do the kind and the kindest things. So, homeless person outside Tesco's on Odeon Street. You could rip his skin off and dip him in salt. You could walk by. You could say hello. You could buy him a sandwich. I think Jesus wants us to be over here. Generosity and kindness doesn't always have to be about money. It can be about time. It can be about beauty. It can be about smiling. Jesus wants us to be here. He shows us the way by being over here all the time. And if we follow his example of being kind and looking out for people, even in times of stress and times of hardship, then we become more Jesus-y. And if we become more Jesus-y, then people around us will see him through us.